Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, you had better. Wake them up, get them up, get them going on a Wednesday. It is B&E. We're going to drag you up over the hump. Another blazing hot day in Austin, Texas. Dog days at the end of July and into August are here with sizzling conditions, but a lot to talk about. The latest on the Longhorn and Sooner move to the big to the SEC. Things are lining up with meetings scheduled tomorrow and Friday. We'll get you details. Meeting in the SEC, meetings in Austin and Norman on Friday. Details coming throughout the course of the morning. More drama in Tokyo, Olympics 2020 being held in 2021. But more going on there, including USA basketball rebounding from their early loss with a beatdown today. Also, the latest on Simone Biles. Baseball trade deadline is Friday. Astros made one yesterday. We'll get you details and the night in baseball as well. So a lot to do. It's going to be a great Wednesday. Glad you're with us. All 32 NFL teams are also in training camp and practicing as of today. We'll get you the latest, including the Cowboys and Texans. What's going to be a busy 4 hours of fun and conversation. Appreciate you being there. However you find us, on 104.9, on 101.9 FM, AM 1260. And you know we're always streaming live, local, and digital on your Horn app and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and, of course, all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. It is appreciated, and it is appreciated each and every day. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem out there. Continue to work work the best you can to help out everybody and everybody around you, please. Teamwork.
Teamwork.
It's about team.
Teamwork makes the dream work, my friend. Teamwork makes the dream work every single time, and that has always been the case. And here we go. A lot to do. It'll be a fun show, fun conversations to be had. As we get you going, Isaiah Collier produces the program, and we're going to get after it. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hot. I'm scheduled to play my first round of golf in quite a while. This afternoon, I'm a little bit leery. It's going to be warm. It's going to be sizzly.
Yeah, I've been over a month of not playing. I'm not going out there.
You're not?
Well, I'm gotten to the point. Summertime is summertime. I used to, when I coached, I didn't get to play. You know, there were certain times I couldn't play for six months. So, dude, why am I playing out there where it could hurt me? I there's plenty of time in the fall.
Yeah. Well, we have a Wednesday group that we play with and hadn't played in a while. Everybody's been on vacation. Everybody's been out. We had 4th of July. And so it's been a bit, but so we're scheduled to play. I'm like, eesh, this can be warm. But we'll suck it up and make that happen. Everybody out there going, oh, geez, cry me a river.
Yeah,
but,
really.
It's going to be warm. It's going to be warm. But hydrate yourself. That's a big part of it as we get this thing rolling. But it's going to be a fun Wednesday. A lot to do. Let's get the headlines. Trending topics get you caught up on what's going on and what's going on while you were sleeping in Tokyo. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with the latest on conference realignment, of course. And it is official. We talked about it yesterday morning. Texas and Oklahoma have sent their letters officially to the Southeastern Conference from formally requesting to become members 15 and 16 of that conference. SEC presidents will meet tomorrow, at which they're expected to vote to approve the request for Texas and Oklahoma to become the newest two members of that conference. Of course, 11 of the 14 members have to vote in the affirmative. It is expected that all 14, including Texas A&M, will vote for the inclusion of Texas and Oklahoma to the conference. Now, back in Austin, the Board of Regents of Texas has called a meeting for Friday morning. Same situation in Norman, where Oklahoma's Board of Regents have called their meeting for Friday as well, obviously to discuss what goes on Thursday with the SEC. More drama from the Tokyo Olympics with the announcement from USA gymnast and USA Gymnastics that the defending Olympic champion Simone Biles has now withdrawn from the final but the individual all-round competition in gymnastics due to concerns over her mental health. The four-time Olympic gold medalist from 2016 and the 19-time world champion drew criticism from some yesterday for dropping out of the team competition after just one event for the same reason. She will now not compete for the individual all around. In Tokyo yesterday as well, USA basketball got back on track. Remember that opening loss to France, but issued a beatdown to Iran, 120-66 today. Damian Lillard led the way with 21 there. American swimmer Katie Ledecky won her first gold medal in Tokyo, taking first in the 1,500-meter women's freestyle. Fellow American Erica Sullivan won silver in that event. That's her first ever Olympic medal. In her first ever Olympics, USA medal count is up to 30 total now, 10 gold. In baseball last night, Astros even their series in Seattle at a game apiece with an 8-6 win. Yordan Alvarez belted a 3-run homer early. Miles Straw added a big 2-run double as part of a 4-run fourth inning that was the difference for Houston. Before last night's game, Astros and Mariners pulled off a trade. Houston sent third baseman Abraham Toro and reliever Joe Smith to Seattle for relievers Kendall Graveman and Rafael Montero. Graveman's the key to the deal for Houston, the bullpen star of the Astros. He's got a .82 ERA this season in 30 appearances. Rangers broke their 12-game losing skid with a 5-4 win over Arizona. Joey Gallo blasted a big 3-run homer, his first long ball since the All-Star break, and the Round Rock Express split a doubleheader in Reno. They wrap up that road trip. E-Train back home at Del Diamond on Thursday night to open up a 12-game homestand.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, busy day in Tokyo overnight. Of course, it is already, gosh, what is it, 6:06 here? That means it's 8:06 p.m. in Tokyo.
They're doing their thing already.
Prime time in Tokyo, so they're doing their thing, and Simone Biles not doing her thing, which drew a lot of conversation yesterday. That is a curious situation, Buck, where, you know, the most decorated U.S. gymnast of all time was unable to go for her team in the team competition and now unable to go for her the individual all around. It's USA Gymnastics says it remains to be seen if she'll compete next week, because then they'll have the medals for each individual event at the Olympic Games. But a strange situation there with Simone, the Texan.
Well, yeah. I mean, if she's not gonna compete in the team, she looked pretty silly going and then being in the individual competition. I mean, there's a lot to be said. I mean, not everybody is raising a bunch of babies, but we're trending towards that way of this mental health. And, you know, who's to say about mental health? I mean, I deal with addiction each and every day, but each and every day isn't a perfect day. When things aren't perfect, you still have to get your ass out of bed and go to work. You still are going to tumble and fall. I want to see you when the pressure's on. And this young girl has been under pressure all her life. I mean, she's a foster child. She's got incredible parents that have blessed her with the ability to have all these things that she's had. And she's a gifted athlete. But when things aren't going good and you're not at your best, that's when you have to dig down deep and help out your teammates. You don't quit on your teammates. You don't quit on a team and say, well, you know what? I'm not the perfectionist. I'm a perfectionist, and this isn't working out for me. So I'm going to quit on you guys. And then I'm going to talk about my mental health. Well, for Simone right now, her mental health is going to come into question. Every time she gets up and looks in the mirror, that's going to be her. That's what she's going to look at. She's going to say, you know, I it wasn't a perfect day. I probably wasn't going to be perfect, but I left my teammates, and my teammates had to put on quite a performance to get the silver medal. So it's hard for me to question somebody's mental health. As I said, I deal with addiction, but Jesus Christ, stop quitting on people. Stop walking out and talking about using this mental health deal as, I don't want to call it a crutch, because there are people that have mental health issues. But for athletes, every day is not your perfect day. Game on. Every day is not going to be sunshine. It's going to rain. Put a rain jacket on. Every day is not going to be where you need to, you know, you're not going to be hydrated well enough. Drink some more water. My God, what the hell are we raising here? She's a foster child. She's come up through a system that's been tough on her all her life. And then at one of the toughest moments when things aren't perfect, she goes, I'm going, it's my mental health. Cut me a break.
Yeah,
cut me a break, you people. Really?
Well, I mean, look, and that's where it's a conflicting thing, because this is a young lady at 24 years old who has competed and performed at the highest levels under the most pressure her whole life. I mean, she's a
It can't be the pressure.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, she's a 19-time world champion. She's been in these moments over and over and over again, which is why at some level, I think you have to give her a little credit that maybe she wasn't having a good day, or she's not mentally in a good place. And her
give her credit for what?
Well, I mean, that she's not
having a good day.
She's not mentally prepared for this event. Clearly, I mean, she has
so
not
quit.
Well, the folks on the ground in Tokyo said that her quitting actually allowed her team to win the silver. That's how bad her. And I saw her first vault. I mean, it was terrible. It was the worst vault of any of the vaulters. And you know, her score dragged them down dramatically in the vault. that, you know, if she's not mentally prepared for this event, some could argue, and I would argue, that she helped her team.
No, I'm never going that direction. But
I don't know how else to pigeonhole it, because if she's not mentally in it for whatever reason, you can criticize her for that, but that's a dangerous sport if your head's not in it. Why is her head not in it? I don't know. It's a different scenario. There aren't fans there. You're in a bubble. Your parents.
It's
and
not
your coach,
perfect.
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect for her.
Yeah, but again, this is someone who has overcome a lot to get where she's at.
And she has. She's a foster child.
And you know, she dealt with the Larry Nassar situation, that horrible situation with the former Michigan State doctor.
So that's just coming up now in this event?
No, that's not just coming up. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that
her life.
My point is, she's overcome a lot over her time. She's performed at the highest levels in
that,
the world.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what's going on with her right now. I don't think anybody can get inside her head and try to figure out what is in her head. But if your head's not in it, that's not a sport that you can compete at. If you're not mentally focused and ready to go, I'm not sure why she's not. That's going to be for her to decide, and she deserves criticism for not being ready to go. But I don't know what else to say. If she can't answer the bell, she can't answer the bell, and then she's going to.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. Yeah, you can quit. I mean, yeah, I mean. That's what you could do. You could just say, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to be at my best today, but I know one thing. If I'm going to go out there, even on a bad day, I'm going to continue to perform. I'm going to try to do what I have to do.
I mean,
I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, we've seen it over and over in sports on all sides. I mean, people having to perform at their best when they're not at their best, and that's what champions do. But for me, with Simone, it's hard because she has been such a great champion. She has performed at those levels all over the world for years and years and has done things no other gymnast has ever done.
That's right, so do it again. Do it again when you're not good. Do it again when you're not on. Show the world that even though... She's not going to be perfect. Everybody's not going to be perfect every day. You know what I mean? That's when you got to suck it up. That's, I saw her little stumble. I mean, she's so used to perfection, landing things perfectly. She had a little hop skip, and she was like.
Yeah, but if you saw her, because you get a practice vault before the actual vault.
But how about her teammates, because of what she did, didn't have a chance to practice, to warm up the next girl?
Well, that threw it into a lurch for sure. But, yeah, I mean, that's why it's a conflicting situation for me, because she has performed at such a great level in her career. I'm not sure why she's not there now, and she's going to have to take the criticism. I mean, she was...
Every day she'll have to look in the mirror. She's the one who understands what's going on.
And there's also the pressure that she's the face of this games for NBC. I mean, the NBC... contract for television for this. Simone Biles was the biggest name there and is the biggest name there. There is no Michael Phelps this time around. Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky.
She's been performing at a high level. The pressure, you keep saying the pressure. She's been performing at a level of high pressure just about all her life.
That's why I'm arguing that the pressure didn't get her. She's just not mentally there. She hadn't prepared herself mentally for whatever reason. For this, and I'm not sure why. I mean, I don't think her own coaches probably couldn't tell you why that is. But if you're the coach and she's not in it, I mean, you can seriously hurt yourself in gymnastics if your head's not in the game. I don't know why your head's not in the game, but you can fall off a balance beam, or you're talking about crossbars and doing the uneven bars. I mean, you can seriously injure yourself if for whatever reason mentally you're not there. Is it pressure? Is it?
I mean, so where are you? Are you? It sounds like you. Which way are you? You can defend her, but
not defending her, trying to understand it. But at the same time, she's going to take criticism and should for not being ready to go in this event.
I know this. She's had a struggle throughout her life. When you're a foster kid, but she's had it good. There are kids that don't get the opportunities as a foster kid that she's had blessed upon her. This isn't like, well, I don't want to go through her whole life story. I mean, it's a wonderful story. She has great parents. These foster parents, that's their child now. There are kids that don't get those chances like that. It's just a strange thing. And as I said, that's her. But I'm not going too much of the easy route with this deal. And, but like I said, she's the one who has to look at herself in the mirror.
Well, look,
that's just an opinion for me.
Sure. If she leaves Tokyo with zero medals... Well, she's going to have a silver because her team ended up winning the silver.
They did.
With her out. And, some would argue, and I read several opinions that, her bowing out allowed someone else who was more prepared to step in and allow them to win that silver, because she was in such a bad place that it was going to be terrible for her and for the team if she continued to compete in the other four events that she was scheduled to compete in. And look, but even if she, you know, leaves with a medal or two and that silver, she's still the most decorated Olympic gymnast of all time. And that's quite an accomplishment for a person. I don't know why she wasn't ready for this. I'm not sure. Is it the bubble environment? Is it whatever, the pandemic, the extra year, all the things we're talking about? Everybody can issue their opinion on how and why. She's simply not. She's not ready to go. And that is... You know, that I don't know the answer, but it's not like she hasn't reached the highest peaks in her sport and raised the bar. She's the face of American gymnastics. So I'm not saying you're wrong to be critical of her. And
I just think when you've done so many perfect things that she's done in her sport, if you have a slip up, this is where you have to show that, you know what, I am not going to be perfect this day. I may lose my country a medal, but I damn sure not going to start hugging the other girls and saying, you guys go out there and get it because I'm not having my best. No, I'm going to reach down somewhere. And if I'm not perfect that day, I'm not perfect that day. Then I'll talk to the world and my team about what's going on. But I'm not going to bow out on you. I'm not bowing out because I'm not having a perfect day.
All I'll say on that is watching the coverage last night in real time. Obviously, it was on record, but Watching it as it unfolded, as the announcers were trying to figure it out, like, you know, because we heard about it during the show yesterday. She did say to her coaches, I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself in the air. And you could see her doing that. I mean, she's for whatever, again, I'm not a gymnast. I don't know gymnastics, but I know that is a high level of technical preciseness that you've got to understand your body and feel where you need to be. And if you're not focused, and again, that's...
I'm going to venture to say, out of all the wonderful things she's done, she's had days like this and still competed and went through it. Okay? This is not the first time that she's had a bad day, that she didn't continue to compete.
Well, all I can go on with what she said afterwards, she said she never felt like that going into a competition. She said she never felt like that the night before a competition, and she never felt like that the morning of and as it began in her career. She said that. So that's where she was. So if you've never felt that way before and it feels foreign to you or whatever and it just doesn't feel right, I mean, that's where it was. And that's why it's... And look, and you were right at the beginning. If she had turned around and competed tonight in the individual all around, that would have looked terrible if she bailed on her team.
But there's a good possibility that's why.
Well, she's not competing in that now for, you know, same reasons given by USA Gymnastics. That would have been a terrible look, I would imagine, or I would have argued for Simone Biles to not compete for her with her team, but then turn around and go individual. But she's not in that either. And she may be done for these games, which leads you to wonder about her mental lead up to this, preparation for this, what is going on with her.
I think she has the world championships coming up.
Yeah, she's
coming up next.
Yeah.
But that's her life. That's what she does.
That's what she does.
Yeah, that's what she does. I mean, this isn't just her only event. The Olympics is great, and it's great for this country, but her life is competing all. I mean, she's got the nationals, she's got the world championships. She's been doing this for a long, long time at quite a level that I have no clue about.
Well, that's why this is
I have no clue about what the level that she works at. I just know that on unperfect days, you can't leave your team. I'm just going to go out there and perform. And in my mind, I believe she can say what she wants to. But to me, my individual thoughts are that she's had unperfect days that she went out there and still. This I'm not believing. This is the first day.
Well, you know
in her
that.
Life.
You know, they're all those gymnasts. Although they're dealing with something. You know, minor injuries and this and that. But again, just, you know, mentally, you and I know people will talk about softness and mental toughness. But
I'm not even calling her soft. I'm not saying that.
But you were talking about
raising. She's gone through much in her life.
Correct. And that's where I give her so much credit for what she's already achieved that
yes.
I'll allow her to have one bad day. I mean, that's just me. My opinion is that if that's what she woke up with and she just didn't have it and didn't have it today, you know, that might be something likely will be something she looks back on years from now and say, damn, I didn't prepare myself.
Like I said, she's the one that's got to look at that mirror every single day from this point on.
But at the same time, if you're not there, you know, and you can't reach that level that you've reached before and you can't, you know, perform, you know, that's there's something admirable about being able to admit that, too, in my mind, especially with the embarrassment that's going to come, the criticism that's going to come from around the world.
You're just seeing that with the tennis player who just did that just recently. It wasn't like that was months ago. But
Naomi Osaka?
Yeah, I mean, is this a pattern that, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just too odd for me.
To me, those would be two different things, but either
really?
Way.
It's just very weird coincidence that these things happen so close. I mean, it's mental health is, like I said, it's hard to deal with somebody's mental health. And I, like I said, you're the only one that really, really knows. You have to look in the mirror. Were you just having a bad day, or is this now become a, is it a real issue, or is it just something that people are starting to fall onto?
It says, Bucky, the way she spoke about it and talked about it, being able to stop shaking, sounds like she was having a panic attack. Buck, I'd love to see you try to compete in
anything.
No,
don't tell
me
that. Don't put it on me. Shut up. I don't want to hear that crap. Don't put it on me. I just told you I never competed at that level. Don't ask me to do something. Don't ask me to coach at a certain level. I don't even want to hear that from you. I'm just stating an opinion. Keep your opinion. I want to see me. You don't want to see me. No, you don't want to see me on the uneven parallel bars. That won't work for me, so you can stop with that already.
Well, Lillard, but I will say this. If she's having a panic attack, and she said she was shaking, she couldn't eat, you know, she typically tries to take a nap before the competition in the evenings because they practice in the mornings, and then nap and rest and mentally prepare yourself. She couldn't.
It just sounds like people are talking about this is her first major incredible event that this young girl has ever done.
But I think the opposite is what I'm arguing, that she's done this so many times. Yesterday was the outlier. Yesterday was the first time she says that's ever happened, which that can throw you for a loop. That why is this happening? I don't know, but I can't go. Sure, I mean, everyone can put their label on it, but to me that was, she has achieved so much in her life and overcome so much and competed at such a great level that I'll allow her, my individual, to have a bad day. And you know, whatever that reason for that is, she's going to have to live with that, and as you said, look in the mirror on that for a long time of why she wasn't able to go and answer the bell when the bell rung.
Yeah, I'm going to look at my teammates, and I'm going to look around at those other young girls, and as she's hugging them, and they're looking at her, their eyeballs. Speaking about pressure to win that silver medal, they had to be just about perfect yesterday.
Yeah,
the rest of them at a quick period.
And against, you know, the best team in the world and the Russians, who were nip and tuck going into that, even with Simone Biles at her best. Russia was seen as a very formidable foe for Team USA and always has been. And that's credit to the ladies that stepped up and did a great job to bring home the silver medal. And again, that's what Simone and I think her coaches argued, that if she had kept going through a panic attack or whatever she was dealing with, and they may not even won that silver. It might have been that bad for her in her performance. Going after, if you saw the vault and the practice vault, there's some evidence that could have been the case.
I don't know. For me, just doing that, that's not an option.
Understood.
That's just not an option.
I understand.
It would never be an option. And that, remember, this is just coming from me. Now, I understand people I understand problems because, like I said, I struggle with it each and every day. But quitting is not. That's not an option to me. It just isn't.
I completely understand,
and that's an individual thing for me, just like it was an individual thing for her.
That's correct.
And she has to look at it and figure that out for herself. And if it was the first time it ever happened, that's the way it is. But that still, for others, just is not an option. So
somebody said she's no Michael Jordan. Well, I mean, she's the most decorated American gymnast or world gymnast of all time.
She's overcome incredible odds. She's a. There were people that didn't want her as a baby. They said goodbye to her, but she was blessed enough to be in a great family that's put her through all these wonderful things to get her to where she is. So she's fortunate. She's blessed each and every day, but she has had to face a lot of obstacles in her life. I just hope that being so perfect and all this decoration, all of a sudden, if she's not having a good day on this occasion, as you said, if she says it's the first, but I don't believe that because I think she's had bad days where she still went out there and competed. You know what I'm saying? I think that part is the crutch of all crutches. She's been competing. She's had to have bad days where she doesn't get up on the right side of her bed. You know what I mean? And went in there and
fought her
ass off.
But that's why I continue to say I can only go on her word that she's never felt like she felt yesterday, ever. And to say she's not Jordan, well,
in
gymnastics,
not.
She's already the GOAT.
She is the GOAT, yes.
In her sport, just like Jordan's the best in his sport. And regardless of whatever happens the rest of this week, and she's not competing right now in the individual all-around, she is the GOAT in that sport, no matter what happened yesterday.
No, I don't think that changes anything about what she's accomplished and what she has done before, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that doesn't smear any of that. That's why this is so unusual. That when things, once again, it's just hard for me to explain. There's no option on that for me. There just isn't.
We'll take your thoughts. Coming back, though, a very special guest. We're going to jump in with Ari Temkin from Big 12 Today on Sirius XM. Talk some Big 12 football. Obviously, Ari's thoughts on Texas and Oklahoma with their application to the SEC, but what about the other eight teams? What happens to the Big 12? He works and talks Big 12 sports each and every day on Sirius XM. We'll talk to Ari coming back. Also, your thoughts on Simone Biles and the drama at the Olympic Games. A lot to do. Dragging you up over the hump on a blazing hot Wednesday in the ATX.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. We'll get back to the Simone Biles debate coming up. Also, baseball's trade deadline is coming up on Friday. A couple of deals went down yesterday. Astros made one in their own division. And all 32 NFL teams are now practicing training camp, including the NFL ruling yesterday or issuing a statement saying that despite 22 active lawsuits against him, Deshaun Watson, no restrictions from the NFL, at least, on the quarterback's ability to participate with the club.
Until
the games start. Now the Texans have 5 or 6 weeks to deal with what they do with Deshaun Watson. So we'll get back into that. But obviously our top story has been all week and will continue to be the Big 12 situation. Texas and Oklahoma has officially applied for membership in the SEC. SEC presidents meet tomorrow. As we told you, the Texas Board of Regents has scheduled a meeting for Friday, obviously to discuss what is voted on Thursday, also to hand out some coaches' extensions and new raises, I have been told, to David Pierce and Jared Elliott and others. So a lot going on the 40 acres, but a lot going on in the Big 12. With that in mind, always great to get an early conversation with Ari Temkin of SiriusXM's Big 12 Today. Also works for the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network and learned this week that Ari has taken a position with OrangeBloods.com as well here on a local level. How are you, Ari Temkin? Congratulations.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. You know, 10 years ago, we were having similar conversations about realignment in Austin at the Horn. And,
yep,
you know, a lot of the Orange Bloods folks were working at the Horn at the time. And so it's, you know, 10 years later. But before all this starts happening, you know, I just started talking to Catch about heading up their video strategy. So, yeah, it's a full circle moment for me, for sure.
Yes. And, yeah, you were with us at the inception of the Horn back 10 years ago when the first round of conference realignment happened, and here we are again. Obviously, we know the score right now, the story. Texas and Oklahoma are headed out. What is your feel? Let me ask you this this way. How surprised were you? Because we saw you at Big 12 Media Days just 2 weeks ago, getting ready for this season, which is now 38 days away. What was your level of surprise upon hearing the news of the departure coming for Texas and Oklahoma?
I was shocked. You know, it seemed to come out of left field. It's funny, we had just finished an interview with Bob Bowlesby and were sort of, you know, telling him how good of a job he had done to kind of navigate the last year with everything that was going on. And now, you know, he looks like he's got egg on his face. I'll say this. You know, when I initially saw the reports, I reached out to some of my sources at the Big 12, and you know, they indicated they were kind of caught off guard by this, but I don't buy that. I don't think everybody in the conference was as caught off guard by this as maybe it appears to be. I think, you know, there's sort of these folks playing surprised here, but I do think that there are many administrators in this conference and at a local level at many schools that had an inkling that something of this magnitude could be happening or would be happening. And I think especially in the Big 12, I think this is the reason the Big 12 hired a consulting firm a few months ago to go talk to ESPN and Fox about their television rights to try to get an extension done on that. So, you know, I just don't think that the conference was as caught with its pants down as people might think, or it might be indicated at this point.
Well, I know this. There was only a couple stars at Big 12 Media Day. You were one of them, Ari. You always are. So,
thank you, buddy.
First of all, let me just say that. And
you both were, for sure.
Yeah, and I'll say for you, are you excited about this? About Texas and Oklahoma heading to a conference like this, where it's the best of the best in football. We know that. There's no denying it. There's no mistaking anymore. It's got to be exciting for not only fans who want to see great games each and every week, you know, but also the way college football is going. It's going in that direction. It's not turning around. Everything we see that's happening, you know, likeness and image and all that stuff, the stuff is not going to back up. Now, there may be some tweaks here and there and all that, but there's no tweaks to this for the Longhorns and the Sooners. There's no tweaking. They have to do this right now.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's part of the tenor of where college sports is. And, you know, I could say is going, but I'd say it's already there. You know, it's this move is a byproduct of the changing of the last year. You know, this move doesn't happen without college football playoff expansion, which is sort of a different story altogether. Because, you know, wouldn't that be crazy if somehow that now got voted down because of this move? But, I mean, it's a product of name, image, and likeness. It's a product of the changing administration, obviously, on the 40 acres. It is very much a product of what you have to do in modern football. In terms of my feelings on it, you know, I personally, it's really bad for me. Look, I don't think the Big 12 will dissolve as much as it looks like it will. I think the ACC and the Pac-12 are in as bad a shape. I think their quote unquote patience in this game is detrimental to their long-term viability as well. Obviously, as a graduate of Kansas, you know, it affects me in that way too. Not just, you know, my livelihood working for the Big 12 network. I mean, and it also makes it less fun. I mean, let's be honest, Texas and Oklahoma made covering this conference more fun. And so not having them in there, not having these brands as part of the Big 12, it sucks, again, for my own personal interest. And I do think there's just this element of, we can acknowledge that this is the right move and probably a move that had to be made, but also that it a move that is made within Texas's and Oklahoma's own best self-interest, but that part of it is just, it's just hard to root for from a standpoint of, you know, you need in the NBA and the NFL and pro sports, you sort of need some of the smaller markets, you know, and we saw the Milwaukee Bucks win an NBA championship, and just, you know, the dynamic of, you know, super teams versus these smaller markets, you know, it's great to see a winner, you know, be the underdog at times. And so this is obviously a shot at the underdogs, and basically telling a lot of football programs across the country that have done an incredible job of building up their program. You know, you look at Iowa State, you look at what Kansas State was under Bill Snyder. You know, I mean, I'm just being a little bit too romantic here with some of these ideas, but yeah, I think it sucks for the idea of you don't matter, you know, and while there's some truth in that, I think it's just a hard pill to swallow for programs that have navigated these treacherous waters in such a good, positive way for so many years that are now being, you know, left out to die.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Nature of the beast.
Ari, can we also say, guys, I know we like to blame COVID for everything, but this year and a half has cost a lot of people a lot of money. It's cost jobs on university campuses. It's crushed little cities and little towns that have, like you said, whether it's Kansas State or, I mean, it's crushed these towns. It crushed, you know, Happy Valley. It crushed those. That's what those people live for. This is going to crush them again for some of these people. The big boys are going to go on, and things are going to happen great in Austin, Texas. They're still going to happen great in the Norman area. But some of these other places, as you said, it hurts your heart, but it's hurt everybody. It's hurt everybody financially, and you can't afford to not jump in if you can get in. That money's hard to make up, you know? It's just hard to make
up. Right. You're referring, you know, to many of these college towns and the economies and the businesses that thrive on College Game Day Saturdays. And, mm-hmm. and you talk to bar owners and I'm sure this is the case in Austin too, maybe probably lesser so than it would be in Lincoln, Nebraska or, you know, many of these other cities. But, you know, a lot of them say they get 70 to 80% of their total yearly revenue during football season, you know? So and most of them were dry or close to it during this last year. And it's going to affect them moving forward, especially across the Big 12. I don't know what's going to happen here. I'd be lying if I told you I did. And I think anybody that says that they do know is lying too, because I don't even think the players really have any inkling of what they're going to do. But, you know, I keep saying the Big 12 is the wounded duck here, obviously. But you look at the television deals, the Big 12 was the third highest earner in television revenue. Now, obviously, that's substantially lessened by the losses of Texas and Oklahoma. But we're talking about conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten, that are due to make twice as much money yearly as the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the ACC. So this patience that the Pac-12 and the ACC seem to be preaching, you know, internally, we heard George Kliavkov say that we're not just going to, you know, yesterday at Pac-12 Media Days, we're not just going to expand for the sake of expansion. It's like, I don't think you have any concept of your own mortality in that sense.
Yeah.
the SEC is gobbling up everything, and we're not far off from Greg Sankey becoming the commissioner of the College Football League here. And that even goes for some of these, you know, lesser programs in the SEC. Like, they think they're skating scot-free here. Like, Vanderbilt, Mississippi, Mississippi State, your time may be limited too.
Yeah, the changing landscape. And Ari Temkin from Big 12 Today on Sirius XM, also Cowboys Radio Network, and now OrangeBloods.com. Ari, the other eight schools, you talked about it. Patience, or, I mean, my thought is they're going to look out for number one and try to find the best landing place for them. And I don't think that's in a rebuilt Big 12, that it, whatever it'll be behind the ACC and the Pac-12 will be the fifth conference as far as revenues and right. prestige. You know, your alma mater, Kansas, can they find a spot in the Big 10? Texas Tech's got a scramble. Could they get and offer the Pac-12 an inroad into the state of Texas and TCU maybe in the Metroplex? I mean, all you got to look out for number one right now. West Virginia, Iowa State, you got to find a soft landing place.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the dynamic playing out with Bob Bowlesby. And look, I mean, he's done a really good job over the last year, but, you know, he's very much complicit in some of the issues here that you know, whether, you know, he's saying publicly was caught off guard, but just not being proactive enough. We had asked Bowlesby for quite some time now about, you know, conference realignment. And especially given the Pac-12, you know, I thought that the Big 12 should have been more aggressive in trying to lure some Pac-12 teams into the Big 12 to maybe even, you know, create some long-term viability within the conference, just because the Pac-12 has been so weakened because of Larry Scott. They have a bad television deal. The Pac-12 network has been an absolute disaster. And so when you think about the monies that the Big 12 had been making with the additions of some potential Pac-12 schools, you know, that could have been a huge boon for them and could have potentially saved them. Would it have, you know, I don't know, but ultimately, this has been something that they should have been doing and proactively been searching for a long time, especially as the Pac-12 has made bad decision after bad decision, which obviously affects the bottom line. I've said some radical things recently this week in terms of, like, go make a play for Oregon if you're the Big 12. You know, like, why not offer them the same deal you're offering Texas and Oklahoma, right? Like, You can say to a school like in Oregon that would bring a significant brand into your conference that we can offer you, you know, 1.5 shares of TV revenue, and that we believe that the additions of you and maybe some other Pac-12 schools will continue to make our television revenue at what it is. You know, who knows if Oregon would even listen, but I mean, you can't. If I'm Kansas or I'm Oklahoma State, and I've got other options, I think that is true. You know, I think, you know, Kansas was third in revenue in the Big 12 last year. They still made money in football for some crazy way, but we know that the basketball product, you know, is a viable product and is unlike any other basketball program, you know, really, you know, in the country in terms of what is looking for a conference right now. So, I, if I'm Kansas or I'm Oklahoma State and I have options, I am waiting to hear what the Big 12 plan is. If they come back and say, we're going to raid the American Athletic Conference and make this, you know, lesser Power 5, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm looking for my first lifeboat out. But if they come with something more creative that tries to leverage sort of all of the declining revenues from the ACC or the Pac-12, then I'm listening. And then I'm potentially staying. But in the absence of that, yeah, I mean, it's this dynamic of, you know, you've got to re-recruit your own players while simultaneously trying to figure out the best, you know, long-term viability for your conference.
Yeah, transfer portal's there, too. If they don't like where they're headed, they can go elsewhere.
Hey, yeah, no kidding, exactly.
Well said, my friend. Congratulations on the new role at Orange Bloods, as you're the busiest working man in media, kind of everything with the Cowboys season starting up. So we'll check in again soon on the Big 12, on the Cowboys, and everything that's happening. It's great to hear you.
Thank you, Ari.
Appreciate you guys. One thing's for sure, this football season is going to be fun.
Yeah, no doubt. Ari Temkin, have a great show. Have a great day. Ari Temkin with you here early this morning from Big 12 Today on Sirius XM. We'll come back. We'll continue that conversation. How impactful was Texas and Oklahoma to Big 12 revenue? We'll get you an interesting note there that'll be pretty revealing to how huge this is for the Big 12 that they're leaving. Also back on the Simone Biles debate for sure. It was a hot one in the first segment. It's just getting warmed up. We're a Wednesday. It's B&E, live, local, and digital on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Sun coming up on a blazing hot Wednesday in Austin, Texas. We're dragging you up over the hump. Hope you're ready for it. Got a lot to do. We'll revisit the Simone Biles conversation in our next hour. Also reset the headlines. It is almost 7 o'clock here in Austin. almost 9 o'clock p.m. in Tokyo, so prime time. We'll get you the latest on what's happening at the Olympics of 2020 being competed again 2021 because of the pandemic. But interesting conversation with Ari Temkin, and you know, we talked about what's left for the Big 12 and what are the options for the remaining eight teams as the Big 12 will either dissolve or get proactive. Hard to imagine that. But I thought this was really revealing, Buck, and we learned all this 10 years ago when the last round of conference realignment happened, and now we're doing it again. But, you know, college football is driven, and college athletics budgets are driven largely by TV deals, right? The mega TV right. packages that pay the freight. And I thought this was an interesting piece. At TheAthletic.com, Stuart Mandel, who has covered college football for a long, long time, dove into the Big 12's media deal and the numbers. And in his research, he put pen to paper and revealed that for the Big 12, this was the sobering, couple of the sobering numbers over the last several seasons, three seasons of college football. 33 of the 38 Big 12 games chosen for primetime on ABC or Fox, that's 87%, involved either Texas or Oklahoma or both. So 87% of the games featured one of those two teams. It was Texas against somebody, Oklahoma against somebody, or them playing one another.
Right.
So nearly 90% of the games involved one of the two big dogs. And you know, you add to that that 27 of the 30 most viewed regular season games on television that turned on the most TV sets over those seasons also involved the Sooners or the Longhorns, led by the Longhorns game with LSU a couple of years ago here in Austin. So again, they were the big dogs. But the really revealing number for what's left for the Big 12 is that the other eight teams in games in which they matched up against one another, the TV ratings were so low, they were on par with the American Athletic Conference, like barely over a million viewers. So when a team, when Iowa State would play Texas Tech, nobody was watching, essentially, on a big picture scale. When the Big 12 had a game on television that didn't feature Texas or Oklahoma,
right,
nobody watched. And this becomes, and this is why when they met on Sunday in the emergency meeting, the Big 12 was offering share and a half, we'll give you double money. Because they're pulling 80% of the freight on the TV package. So when, you know, Iowa State cashes that huge check, you know, they can thank Texas and Oklahoma for it. I mean, that's been the case. That's why they get it. So without Texas and Oklahoma, what is their leverage?
Yeah, somebody's always going to be the haves and have-nots, and you're going to be carrying other people.
Yes.
It happens in business. It happens in the economy. Somebody's going to be carrying somebody. Are you willing to – how long are you willing to carry them?
Right.
That's the deal.
Well, and I think for Texas and Oklahoma, they were becoming more of the have-nots. They were the haves financially and resources-wise, but on the recruiting trail, the potential for name, image, and likeness, the big picture of where the biggest games were going to be played. Gosh, we talk about NFL draft and developing draft prospects and that number. I mean, all of that was trending away from Texas and towards the SEC. So, yeah, you're dragging this conference along. But at what point do you get aggressive, as Jay Hartzell and Kevin Elteif have done, and say, no, we got to go play with them. We got to be in that premier conference. We'll make more money even, but at the same time, we'll be putting ourselves on a higher platform.
Yeah, but over the last 10 years, you've stunk it up with two bad coaches.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. There's no question about that.
And yeah, that's your major sports, your two highest paid coaches and your premier sport has stunk because of the choices of your university.
Correct.
Not the individuals who are in charge now, but the university itself, because over the last, 10 years.
But I agree 100%. There's no debate on that. The results are there. But clearly, this new administration, led by its president and its chairman of the Board of Regents, are much more business-minded and much more results-driven. And, I think so far in all the major sports, with the hiring of Chris Del Conte and those moves, the athletic department is on the rise and is in as good a place as we've seen it. There is alignment at the top. Can that translate to basketball? Can that translate to football? That's going to be the demand. But the point being, this is a decision that's not just for next year or the following year. This is a decision you're making for the next 15 or 20 years.
For all your sports.
For every sport.
Yeah.
And you don't need to quit the I think it's high time Texas and Oklahoma stop dragging the rest of the Big 12 along and, carrying those programs. And those numbers reveal exactly the problem for the rest of the programs. Those other eight, they now have to find a spot, but they don't bring a lot to the table as far as delivering TV.
Yeah, Ari, all cards are on the table. When Ari said that Oregon, they need to try to talk, or they should have done that years ago. You should have been trying to talk Oregon into that as part of the equation back when. But
we may not be here if Bob Bowlsby and the Big 12 had been aggressive, right. And who knows where Texas and Oklahoma were on that. But, you know, as the Pac-12 was falling apart, which it has been, become the aggressor. Go get Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and
absolutely
BYU and Adam.
Absolutely.
Go get them.
It's too late, Bob.
And now it's too late with that. And I believe...
I don't think. Like I said, we said yesterday, it's going to take one school, definitely two, to say we're out, and that's over with.
Right. And I think those schools are West Virginia and Kansas. I think they're going to find greener grass.
Yeah.
And then it's over for the Big 12. But yes, had they been more aggressive, quicker, looking at those TV ratings, saying, "Wait a second, we need bigger markets. We need Phoenix. We need Denver. We need that BYU.
Yeah.
You know, nationwide fan base that turns on televisions." Probably too late now. All right, we'll reset those headlines, take your thoughts on that, get you the timeline for Texas. Also let you know why the Texas Board of Regents have scheduled a meeting for Friday. Kind of makes sense as the dominoes continue to fall. We'll also dive into our Coach's Corner. Hot or not, we got everything. It's Wednesday. It's B&E, live, local, and digital streaming on your Horn app and at hornfm.com.